everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we are waiting in anticipation to hear back and to welcome back Dr. Agnes Chen, known to us here at Catalyst as Agnes Chi. So Agnes, welcome back to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. So I want to do a quick recap for our listeners. During part one of Agnes's amazing testimony, Agnes needed to get a special visa to visit family back in Taiwan. But to get this visa, some miracles needed to happen. So she and her husband Henry put out a Gideon fleece, which means that they asked God to give them a sign to confirm that Agnes was supposed to make this trip to Taiwan. God answered by opening up Taiwan and making it free of COVID restrictions. And I believe this happened just a few days or right on the day that you had asked God for the confirmation, right? Which was August 15th. And secondly, Taiwan had to open up to foreign nationals who could get a special visa, or it was only open to foreign nationals unless you could get a special visa and you were able to get that. And finally, your parents, which at first didn't want to make the trip, decided they would now go. And since Agnes committed to going, you would not be going alone, I think, which you wanted to go with someone. Now, the second Gideon fleece, which God answered, was that God would grant you this special visa before your departure date. And this would need to be done in record time, right? Because it can take up to a few months or more. We all know how long it takes to get a visa. Well, God answered by getting this visa in something like, a week, right? Or three days, which is unheard of. So we're reminded that we serve a God who can do the impossible. So now, Agnes, you have your visa, your plane tickets, your parents at your side, and you're all set to go. But we know that Satan isn't happy about you going to Taiwan, and I want to say even up until close to your departure date, you still had some concerns whether you would even make the trip, didn't you? So I thought maybe we could start by talking about some of those concerns and how the enemy tried to sort of play with your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that all these things that had happened, you know, I was on cloud nine. I had a lot of faith, right? Because I felt like God had worked a miracle.
Yeah.
But when it was getting closer to the trip date, actually things started creeping in. So I think the biggest thought was COVID, right? So I was thinking, what if I get COVID or my parents get COVID before we board the plane? Yeah. Yes, they're not testing anymore, but what if we land in Taiwan? And in Taiwan, you actually had to test at the airport before, you know, going into the country.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if we test, you know, positive there? Or what if we get it on the plane? Like, I start thinking all these crazy things. And what's interesting too is that if you remember to the Catalyst Cup, yeah, that we had several months ago, my son Jaden actually won the grand prize, which was the two Dodger tickets.
Yeah,
right?
And I was on his team.
That's right. And so we had been really excited about going as a family. So what we did was we had purchased two additional tickets.
Oh, you did?
And then, and then Jaden was trying to decide who he would take, right? And so at the very last minute, he said, oh, I want to take you, Mom. You get to sit in that special seat with me. And of course, Noah was furious. Noah's like, how come I didn't get to? But actually, it turned out really funny because it was very sweet. Jaden said, I'm doing that because you're going away, you know, for a couple of weeks. So I felt like that was special and you should share that with me, right?
That's neat.
I was really looking forward to that. But then after all this happened and then we're getting closer to the trip because the Dodgers game was literally 2 days before. Okay. So 2 days before we were supposed to leave. So it was interesting. Actually, Henry's the one who said to me, he said, are you sure it's a good idea for you to go to the Dodgers game? Like, you know, 2 days before you're going to board the plane, or it's actually less than 2 days. And I thought, I had not even thought about that, right? Uh-huh, that was, uh-huh. I had been thinking about COVID, but I didn't even, that didn't even cross my mind. If I go to this Dodgers game, maybe I'll get COVID because there's going to be a huge crowd there, right?
55,000.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, and that was Labor Day too.
Oh, wow.
So, so then that really sowed kind of some doubt in me. And I thought, wow, should I give up this and just have somebody else go? Like, you know, all this stuff, right? So I'm thinking that I have these thoughts of, you know, getting COVID. And then I was talking to some coworkers and they were excited for me, but they're like, oh, I hope you don't get stuck there. Right. So I hear this and I'm thinking, oh, shoot, what if I get COVID there and then we're stuck and I can't get back? So, right. I'm having all these thoughts. Yeah. And I remember I actually needed somebody to like whip me into shape. And I had mentioned in the previous podcast that I had met with Ruth and she really put things, Ruth's son, put things in perspective because she said to me, she said, you know what? So God got you the visa. Yeah. There is a reason that you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And you should just, you know, go back to that. Go back to knowing and holding on to the fact that he got you through this far. He's not going to let you go, right?
Exactly.
And so I thought, oh, yeah, that's true. And then you think that's the end, but then another thought creeped in, which is, wow, then there must be something big that's going to happen. So what do I need to do? Like, what do I need to, you know, how do I need to prepare? Like what, you know, all these kinds of thoughts in my head, like, do I need to bring prayers, special prayers home with me? You know, all this. And so then I started teetering towards this fear of kind of performance, like, wow, God's built this up so huge, but what's going to happen when I actually get there? Right. So, so that was a struggle too. Yeah. So I was sharing that with Ruth too. And she says to me, you know what? It may not be that you need to do anything when you get there. Mm-hmm. You may not have to do anything. And maybe it's just a trip for you to just step foot there and see your relatives. And there may not be any agenda, but there's a reason that you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So take the focus off of you trying to have to do stuff.
Wow.
And just, you know, just go. Just go as who you are. Step into your identity as a daughter of the King.
Wow. Now, I'm curious, what effect did that have? Because I'm just seeing this weight coming off of you as you are, this pressure that had built up is now being taken off. But what was that like for you after that?
Yeah, it was definitely, I think it was just a total mind shift. Once I let that go and it was this realization, the Lord's got me.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to go, right? Yeah. I'm just going to go and we'll just see what the Lord has for me there.
Yeah.
And I believe that I'm supposed to go to the Dodger game. So I'm going to believe in faith that nothing's going to happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm going to go. Yeah. So I went and nothing happened. I didn't get COVID. None of us got COVID.
Yeah.
So my parents were fine.
Yeah. It's you know, my observation is that the words from Ruth, and you had got some words from Evasia in part one, were just like God's words, what God wanted you to hear. And again, taking that pressure off and now you can just go and see how God shows up, but not with this pressure that things have to happen. I mean, just seeing that.
Right. And that was huge.
I just
think it's funny how you can have such a miracle happen and then at the same time, you know, Satan's like waiting right there to try to get you and pull you down, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you finally, you know, you have the right mindset now and you finally get to Taiwan. And now we can't wait to hear what God did and how he and what he showed you during your incredible trip.
Yeah. So I think the first thing that I need to just kind of explain is that when I went on this trip, it was so different than any other times where I had traveled back to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of see why when I share, but
okay.
in the past, when I've gone back to Taiwan, it's always related to family, right? So I usually go back with my parents, or we go back and visit because Henry's dad still lives there. And so we go, and it's a grand kind of whirlwind. All the relatives take you everywhere. You go to restaurant to restaurant. You go to place. You know, it's kind of a pleasure trip for you, right? And like your relatives kind of are there and kind of hosting you, right?
Yeah.
So it's really not, it's about you kind of. It's actually kind of selfish when you think about it. And that's the way that I had taken the trips to Taiwan in the past.
Yeah.
Just going to just have fun.
Right.
Right.
This one was different for you, huh?
This was completely different. Yes. So in this trip, first of all, was God ordained. Second of all, the reason I wanted to go back was not just to go and have fun and, you know, visit a whole bunch of people. So there's the wedding, right, which I wanted to honor my aunt. And then there's my grandma, who was almost 100, and she was losing her memory. So I wanted to kind of be there with her and talk with her before she really completely loses her memory.
Yes.
And then it was about my cousins, who had been kind of living, you know, inside their house, you know, for several years since the pandemic. So I had specific reasons I was going, but it turned out that God really wanted to kind of change my perspective towards my family and realize, you know, that all of the, so there are these things called familiar spirits. I don't know if you are familiar, but there are certain spirits that latch on to families and generations, and they cause certain types of characteristics or, you know, ways of relating to each other.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of that in my mom and my mom's family. And so the bulk of my mom's family is in, actually all of them are still in Taiwan, and she comes from a family of eight. And so they have, you know, certain very codependent relationships with each other. And sometimes that's evident in the way that they interact with in-laws and things like that, things that they say, things that they get involved in. And so it was, this trip was so different because it kind of opened my eyes to what's happening. And then instead of being part of it, like, kind of, for me, it was more about, wait, how can I be different? Because I don't want to be in this same type of spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Or these different spirits that are in my family. And so, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's interesting is it didn't even start off with any of my relatives. It started off with my parents and then something that happened with me. So the Lord, right when we got there in the first couple of days, brought up issues for me. So I'll tell you what happened. So the first 3 days, okay, when you go to Taiwan at least at that time, you had to quarantine for 3 days.
Okay.
Which actually means that you have to stay in the place that you're staying at. You cannot leave. And not only that, they were actually tracking you. So you had to get, you had to have a phone for each person, and each person had a SIM card in the phone, and it would track your location. So, and they actually had like local district police call to make sure that, you know, you were okay and there was nothing going on. So the first 3 days, it was like that.
It's you and your parents in one room, basically, sharing one bathroom, I think, right?
Yes. So my aunt was gracious enough to have her stay at her place, and it's kind of like a studio apartment. So there's one huge space, but there's like a shelf in between. So there's kind of a delineation, but it's still all open. So you can hear everything, see everything.
Yeah.
And then one bathroom, like in the center, right? So basically I was with my parents who I have not lived with since I was in college. Yeah. 3 days, can't go anywhere. You know, sleeping and eating in the same place. So you can imagine kind of, you know, what happened. Literally the first night we were there. So Taiwan has a, I think, 15-hour time difference.
Oh, yeah.
So it's ahead by 15 yes. hours. So the first night we're there, my mom says, and she declares to us, I'm not going to change time. I'm going to stay on American time because I don't want to have to change back and have jet lag when we get back, right? My dad and I are like, what? You know, we're going to be here for like 2 weeks, so you're going to be asleep during the wedding.
Right.
But she insisted, and so that's another thing. She's like, no, I'm going to do it because I can't, you know, I cannot sleep well, so I'm just going to watch my watch and pretend like I'm in America, right? So my dad and I were like, okay, so if you do that, that's fine. But dad and I are going to try to sleep, right? So my parents are sleeping on a bed on the inside, and then I'm sleeping on the couch on the outside where the fridge is, and there's like a little kitchenette, right? Okay. And where the bathroom is.
I see where this is going now.
So the first night, we are trying to go to bed, even though we're not very tired. But so my dad and I lay down, we turn off the lights, and my mom's like, well, I'm going to read. So I thought, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and read. So she's sitting there with her phone, and she's reading. And then about like half an hour into it, I start hearing sounds. So the first thing I hear is little like slippers, you know, in Taiwan, you don't usually have carpet. Okay. And so people wear little slippers. So I hear these little slippers like going back and forth, back and forth. Yes, the pitter patter. And then I hear, okay, excuse me, but like that. What is she doing? Then I hear like clanging because she decides she's going to take the dishes and then she's going to go upstairs to like wash them, right? Because the sink is upstairs. So I'm hearing this and she goes in and out the door and I am like, with every sound, right? Every progressive sound, I'm getting progressively more and more angry. I'm tossing and turning, you know, and I thought, I have my earplugs, but I'm too tired to go grab them right now. I'm just going to hope she goes away or stops. And she doesn't, right? Yeah. She doesn't. And I just could not help it. And I was like, Mom, do you have to do that right now? Do you know that Dad and I are trying to sleep? So it sounded worse than that probably, but my tone was worse than that. Yeah. But so I was angry. And so I kind of, you know, I kind of chided her and I said that. And then, she got angry. She got angry because she's like, I'm not doing this on purpose. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing this on purpose. I try to be quiet. I was quiet and I'm trying to be very, very quiet going back and forth here. Oh, I forgot to mention she was doing calisthenics too, back and forth. You know,
of course she's on LA time.
Right. So I thought, wow. So then we got into it. This is the first night and we got into an argument. But then what the strangest thing happened while we were arguing, I started kind of like seeing myself not in the argument, but seeing myself like outside. It's just a really hard to describe, but I felt like I was watching me and my mom argue.
Yeah, like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, like, and when I was watching the way that we were arguing and I saw how my mom was responding to the things that I was trying to tell her. Really, I was just trying to tell her, can you please be considerate and not do that?
Yeah.
But she was focused on I was saying that she was doing it on purpose. So that it was like malintent, right? Mm-hmm, on her part. Yes. And she could not take that. And so she was just throwing it at me and saying, I'm not doing it on purpose. And I tried to tell her, well, I'm not saying that you're not doing that. You're doing it on purpose, but I'm just saying that it's making it very difficult for us to, you know, go to bed. Yeah, so, but when I'm watching that, I thought, the Holy Spirit said, that's the way you are when you argue with Henry.
Interesting.
Right? Huh. So that was the one thought that just stopped me.
Yeah.
And I was watching us argue and I thought, wow, that's me. Like when I'm watching my mom argue, I'm watching how I argue with Henry, and I'm getting flashbacks, and I'm getting like thoughts of how Henry complains, like, you're not listening, and that's not what I was trying to say. That's not the point. And I can never hear that. So when I watched that, I realized, oh my goodness, that's what I do. And so for the first time, I think I was aware, like, my communication style was kind of influenced by the way that my mom, you know, talks and argues and stuff. And I never wanted to admit that.
Yeah.
But I could actually see it in action.
Wow. Wow.
When that happened.
Yeah.
And so I, that night, I actually called Henry and I apologized to him. So, and I said, you know, I just saw it happening and I realized that that's how I am. So I'm really sorry if I'm unreasonable, you know, things like that when sometimes when we argue.
Right. And let me just stop you for a second. So you had mentioned that your mom, she got upset because she thought that you thought she was being malicious.
Yes.
And so that's the part that you saw in yourself as well, right? That sometimes you feel like when someone makes a complaint that they feel that you're being malicious.
Yes. So, so like being misunderstood.
Uh-huh,
so that was a main thing, but it wasn't just that. It was the way she stuck to it and she couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just focused on that. And no matter what I was saying to her, she couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
She just kept focusing on that one point.
Okay.
And so I get like that, where I'm thinking what I'm thinking and I cannot get off of it. So I can't hear anything that Henry is saying because I'm stuck on what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah. And so I'm just curious, what was Henry's reaction after you you made the apology? you're laughing, so I can...
Yeah. So Henry's like, it's about time. Right. You know, I don't expect, I think we've been married long enough to know that he's not the one, oh, that's so good, honey. No, he's like, yeah. Yeah. So he, I think it was good. Right. It was good.
Yeah.
And I think he told me later on, like even after coming back from the trip, that he felt like I was a different person now than I have been in the past.
Wow.
So that was, that was really interesting.
That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So then I saw this, right? I saw us arguing. And then, of course, in the past, I think I would have just like huff and puffed and just try to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. But I could tell my mom was really upset. And so the Holy Spirit, of course, convicted me. And I felt like, oh, I felt him say, you know, the reason why you're so upset and angry is because you are worried yourself that you're not going to get enough sleep or enough rest, and that's going to affect your health.
Mm-hmm.
And so your anger is actually coming from fear. So I thought, wow, that is true. That is true. Because I have a condition where there's a one specific hormone that's higher than normal, and it can raise my blood pressure. And so if I'm not like sleeping well or resting well, it can make it worse. And of course, on the plane, I hadn't slept well. And so what was happening is I was angry at her because I couldn't sleep. And I was worried that that was going to affect me for the rest of the trip. And so when I realized that, I went and I apologized to my mom. And I said, I'm sorry. The reason that I was angry is because I'm afraid I'm not going to get enough rest. And so, of course, that, you know, that kind of broke it.
Yeah. And what was your mom? How did your mom receive that?
So she stopped. I think what happens is like you don't think that when you apologize that it's going to be so dramatic, but you can see, I think with my mom, it just kind of released her. Like, cause she was this high, right? She was so hot. She was like angry.
Yeah.
And my mom gets really passionate. That's probably, she's very emotional too.
Yeah.
So when I said that, I think it was just kind of like a breath. Like she just was like, okay. And then she's like, yeah, I want you to be able to sleep well too. Right? So, so it just kind of like diffused the anger for her.
Yeah. Oh, good. Now, I don't know if you have more with your mom, but I know with your dad even, God did some amazing things in your dad as well. And I wonder if you can talk about that.
Right. So actually it's related to my mom because my mom actually got into it with my dad the next night. So what had happened is we were just all in a conversation about my mom's family. And I think we were just trying to point out some of the things that, you know, the ways that they interacted with each other. And part of that is that I had an uncle who had just, his girlfriend just broke up with him. And so he had come over and he was talking to us and we were ministering to him. But then when he left, my mom, we were just all talking about it. And we were trying to just tell her not to kind of step in, right? And be maybe too codependent with my uncle, right? And just trying to say, you know, there are things that could have happened differently, you know, just not to take and not to just say, oh, that woman is bad. Like that woman, you know, did all everything wrong, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And be extreme on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. For someone that's not her family. So when we were talking about that, she started getting really defensive. And once she got defensive, she said something, she brought up something from my dad's past about his family. And my dad grew up in poverty. His dad passed away when he was 10. And they had a huge family. They had like 8 also.
Wow.
And, you know, my grandma had to just try to care for all of them.
Yeah.
And it was very hard.
Yeah.
But, and he had my oldest uncle who has since passed away. So he became kind of like the father figure.
Mm-hmm.
But she brought up a story about when he got angry and how he reacted with the family. And that really hurt my dad because when she brought it up, it was kind of saying something bad about my uncle, mm-hmm. whom he had really respected and viewed as a father, right? And he got really angry.
Yeah.
Like it really wounded him mm-hmm. in a way that like I could tell he was really upset because I could see tears in his eyes mm-hmm. and then he could not like he like yelled back at her and he said, "Why are you bringing this up?" Right. And so when that happened, I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here, right? Like, this is just the second day. Like, like this trip is not going to be like this, right, Lord? So then, like, I thought, okay, I really need to say something to my dad because he's just, like, totally, like, so, so hurt, and I could tell. So they kind of, you know, they argued, and then my mom stayed out in the side, and then my dad went back to where the bed was, right? So I went and I talked to my dad, and I just, you know, he was so upset, and I've never talked, usually I talk to my dad, not, you know, you talk to your dad, like, it's so different now, because our relationship is different, like, we're adults now, right? I'm an adult, but I felt like I needed to minister to him like how I do when I'm with people and we're doing like prayer ministry or whatever.
Wow.
And so I said, you know, I spoke things into him like, you know, you did a good job.
Wow.
You know, you did a good job as a father. Like, and the things that she said, you know, don't let them, you know, don't receive them into your heart because they were hurtful.
Yeah.
And I basically spoke words of life into him,
wow.
which so I think he had not ever heard directly from me in that way.
Wow.
And I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, how uncle was and things like that. And it doesn't say anything about you. Because I think what he was basically taking on was that he was feeling like she was saying that her family was better than his family.
Oh.
And that's what really got him. He felt like, you know, she grew up and her family is like all together and relatively functional, right? And they love each other and whatever. And then there's been a lot of unrest, right, in my dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
And so that really hit him. And he felt like she was saying that they were better.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, so I sat and I spoke things into my dad and we prayed and he cried. He was sobbing. Like, wow. I just embraced him and he was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing.
Wow.
And I think the best part of it was at the end of it, he actually said, "But the Lord has been good to me all my life. The Lord has been good to me all my life. So even though I've struggled and we had all these issues, he has been good. And you know, you and your sister, like, both love the Lord. And so that's all I could ask for."
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I just, wow, that was incredible for me. Because I didn't think that the first people that, like, I would have ministry encounters or whatever with would be my own parents.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Wow. Boy, as you're sharing, I'm just, wow. I'm getting teary eyed just hearing that your dad feeling so validated in that moment and you, mm-hmm. you sharing what you did. You know, my observation is isn't God amazing? You could have said, "God, why did you have it be a 3-day quarantine? You know,
right.
Why couldn't you allow us to go in without any quarantine?" But God was just preparing. I mean, he knew that there's no way you'd have that time where you're forced to stay there for 3 days together.
Right.
And it's like he was ordaining that time with you and your parents and just allowing these things to happen. So the restoration I'm seeing and the discoveries about yourself, it was like he set aside that time just for that moment. Curious your perspective.
Yeah, and I think the best thing about that was that at the end of that, you know, I think it was breaking shame for my dad too, because she had said it in front of me. And that was another thing, like he felt ashamed that she had revealed that story and I had never heard it. And so he felt ashamed about it. And so I, you know, it was kind of a release of shame for him. And after he remembered God's goodness, what's interesting is he said, "Yeah, you know, your mom sometimes says things that she doesn't mean." So he actually circled back.
Wow. Wow.
At the whole end of that conversation, and he was able to just let it go and forgive her. So I was amazed.
Oh my, wow.
Because he was so angry. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That is so neat. And I'm seeing almost like you're laying down the foundation, what the Lord not only revealed to your parents, but what he revealed to you, Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm seeing that, okay, this is something that has implications even for you and Henry moving forward and for mm-hmm. your kids as well. It's almost like this whole thing has passed down a generational blessing now moving forward. So I don't know how you see that, but it just seems like it has generational impact.
Definitely. I think, you know, the first step is awareness, right?
Yeah.
I think if you can't even see what you're doing, that is maybe not a good communication pattern, or you're not humble enough to say, "Oh shoot, you know, it's maybe me. It's not the other person. It's maybe how I am that's hindering, you know, the relationship or you know, resolving issues, things like that." And I think it's good because it helped me to look at those things and go, "I don't want that. I don't want that to continue. I don't want that in my kids. I don't want them to see that. That's the way that we are, right? And I don't want to perpetuate that." And then so these things that I'm seeing even with my parents, right, and how she used a hurtful thing to protect herself and defend herself, right? And I know I've done that probably with Henry. And so, you know, it's just a lot of eye-opening things, but to be able to say, "Okay, I see it, and I want it to stop. I don't want this to continue into, you know, further generations."
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Now, God did some other things on your trip with other family members. I think you had mentioned with your grandmother also that
yes.
that you had a moment with her, and I wondered if you can talk about that.
Sure. So, one of the reasons I wanted to go back is I have a special relationship with my grandma. When I was born, my mom had to work. And so my grandma basically raised me. And I was the first grandchild ever because my mom is the oldest. So she used to carry me on her back when she would go to the grocery store, you know, to the market and get food and things. So there's a special relationship there. So she had begun to start to lose her memory. So sometimes when I would be conversing with her on Zoom, she wouldn't know who I was. And so I really was hoping and praying that I would be able to spend some time with her on this trip. So the first day that I was able to get out, we went over to my grandma's house, and it was early in the morning. And when I went there, she didn't know who I was. She didn't. Oh. The only person who she knew was my dad, which was kind of funny, but she didn't know who I was. And so I thought, okay, Lord, well, you know, I'm just here. So whatever you do is fine. And so then I just spent some time with her, and we're just kind of sitting there, but she didn't know who I was, right? Then she, because she's older and she gets tired really easily, she went to go take a nap, right? So she went back to her bed, and the way that the place is set up, like you can actually see her room and the bed from the living room. So there's like a straight shot. So I was sitting there just kind of waiting, you know, and just kind of talking to my uncle, and she went to take a nap. And then all of a sudden, after she had been sleeping for like maybe like 30 minutes or so, she like woke up, and I could see her. She opened her eyes, and she like looked straight at me, and then she called my name. Like, so it's like a nickname. Wow. It's Unga, oh. which is like a Taiwanese nickname for me. That she called me, you know, when I was growing up. And I was like, oh my goodness, she's awake, right? Like she knows who I am. So I went in there and I said, you know, Grandma, like, do you know who I am? And she said, yeah, I know who you are, right? And then she starts like talking to me like, oh, how are you? Like, you know, you're here, you know, from America. Like she's like talking to me. And then one of the things I love to do with my grandma is to like remind her of some of the things that I did or said when I was little that she says all the time to me, right? So she always tells me this story about how like she was holding me on her back and then she fell. But instead of being concerned for her, I said, well, Grandma, why did you fall? You need to be more careful, right? But she loves that story. She thinks it's so cute. So I was reminding her of that. And, you know, so we were just kind of talking back and forth. And I thought, wow, this is so special, right? So we were talking, and then of course my mom comes in, my dad comes in, so she knows who they are, and we're just spending some really, you know, fun time just talking to her. And then we were eating with her, and then she, after eating, she wanted to go back to sleep. So she went back, and then I sat next to her in the bed, and it was funny, like she would fall asleep, but then every like 10 minutes, she would wake up. And then she'd look at me, and then she like grab my hand, and then she'd go back to sleep, right? Wow. So she kept doing that, you know, for like half an hour, and I just thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
And then when she finally fell asleep, I had some time just to pray over her. So I was just sitting there, you know, on her bed, and she's laying down sleeping, and I was just praying blessings over her and just thanking her for her legacy and, you know, just caring for all the grandchildren and the children and just, you know, being honestly kind of like a provider too after my grandfather passed away. And she was a great cook too. I mean, most grandmas are great cooks. And so I remember she would used to make like, you know, bao, you know, like those and special bread, like, And she would make sausages too. You know those Chinese sausages?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
She would actually get the casing. I thought it was kind of gross, but she would like she would like mush up the meat and, you know, stick it in and then twist it and like make it, you know, like fresh.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just had so many fond memories. And so it was a really good time. It was such a blessing for me. And that was the first day we were able to get out.
Yes.
And then what's interesting is I went back to see her like four more times, and all those times she didn't know who I was.
Oh, wow.
So it was just that one day.
That one time.
Yeah.
Wow. God, God gave you that time with her. And,
yeah. It was really good.
Those memories. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think at first you had wanted to go to one of your cousins' weddings, but I think you ended up making both of them, right?
Well, actually, I didn't end up going to the second cousin's weddings, but but I actually was able to stay. Actually, the place that we were staying that my aunt had was actually where that cousin was going to end up living with his wife, and they, because they were remodeling it, they were so gracious and said, you guys can stay there while you're here for your trip, and we will remodel when you leave.
Okay.
And so even though I didn't go to his wedding, like I actually spent more time with that couple than I did with the couples whose wedding that I actually went to. So, yeah, but that was a special time too, because I really got to know, you know, the wife, like my cousin's wife, like soon to be wife. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But it was actually, it was the cousins that had this like kind of fear. Right. That was the other, I think, really amazing story for me was, so I have a pair of cousins. They're, a brother and sister.
Yeah.
And their parents actually it's like a very broken relationship. So they have not really had a father figure in their life, 'cause they're not divorced, but the parents are separated. So my aunt had decided that she didn't want to have anything to do with him after he cheated on her. Like, this was a long, long time ago, because my cousins are in their 40s now. Mm. But when that happened, it kind of broke the relationship, but he did not want to divorce her. So for whatever reason, so they just went on like this. And my cousins really did not finish school. Like, they didn't really go and learn too much of a trade. And so they're really, really all dependent on my aunt. So it's been really difficult for her. And there have been a lot of issues with my cousin and their father. And he hardly ever comes around. But, you know, sometimes he'll come and just, like, try to take him around somewhere. But what happened is that over the last 3 years since the pandemic, I heard from my aunt and my parents that my cousins were not able to go anywhere. Like, they wouldn't go out at all. They wouldn't go anywhere. And then they started having all these allergies to food, meaning like they couldn't eat anything. So now the only thing that they could eat was white rice, chicken, and broccoli for some odd reason. Everything else that they ate would make their throat feel like they were going to close up, like that they couldn't breathe and they couldn't eat. So they were afraid and scared to eat anything.
Oh.
And so when I went to go visit them, I was shocked. They looked so skinny, like almost like concentration camp, like so skinny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I was, you know, I was totally shocked when I saw them, but they were one of the reasons I thought, well, maybe I felt like it wasn't physical. I felt like this thing that happened was spiritual, because they kept saying that the reason that this happened is because they had a bad reaction to Tylenol. And I thought that, well, that's not possible, because the Tylenol is already out of their system. Plus, why would both of them experience the same symptoms, right? That's just really odd. And so, and they weren't even eating the same thing, right? So I thought that was really strange. So I had been praying for them, but I felt like there was something spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what I could do. And I thought, before going, I felt like, I said to the Lord, well, I know just one meeting with them is not going to, you know, break. I don't know. And I'm not there all the time. I can't help, you know, disciple or mentor. So I'm not really sure, but I'm willing to go and just do whatever you ask me to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I was actually a little afraid too, just because the dad, like my uncle, he is like a very avid Buddhist. And so he still worships Buddha, and they have all these altars, right, to his parents and things like that. And I know that he had gone to fortune tellers or things like that in the past. And so I know that he knew we were Christian. So my aunt is Christian, and she was Christian before she married him. And then what happened is the last time I went back to Taiwan, I actually talked to the boy cousin, and he accepted, Henry and I talked to him, and he actually accepted Christ the last time we were there. But after we left, he went to church for a little bit, and then my other cousin came to Christ too, but then they didn't like go to church that often, and then COVID hit. And so it was kind of like a stop, right? But I thought there must be all these spirits like around that are oppressing them. And so I was a little bit afraid too. I thought, you know, I'm in deliverance ministry, but then you never, right? We're always talking about you never try to do it alone, right? You should go as a team and pray, because, you know, they're the spirits or whatever. So I was a little bit afraid, and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just open. Okay. So the day, we picked a day to go visit, and my dad and my aunt and my mom were there too. And we went to their house, and I saw them. Like I told you, I was shocked at kind of their state. And then in the beginning, it was really hard because my aunt was talking, my mom was talking, my mom was trying to talk to my cousins. And then my mom, so she was basically trying to advise them what they should do. Like, you know, well, why don't you try this? Or why don't you go out? Or why don't you, you know, all the sort of motherly things that you would do, right? But obviously that hasn't worked, right? So, because my aunt has been telling them the same thing, and they haven't changed, right? So, and it was just really loud, and there was a lot of noise, and I thought, oh my, like, I thought, God, how am I even going to get to talking to my cousins, right, without all this chatter? And so then what happened was I just kind of watched, and we're just kind of seeing what was happening. And then all of a sudden, my mom decides she's going to focus on my aunt. So she starts talking to my aunt. And then my dad is like, actually, he was really tired at the time, so I think he was just resting. So then all of a sudden, there was this moment where my cousins were both sitting there, and I had an opening where I could actually talk to them. So I felt like here's the thing, because I was kind of, you know, wasn't sure what the Lord wanted me to do, I was asking him the whole time, right? So I'm asking, Lord, okay, how do you want me to approach this? What should I say? Should I just pray? Like, what should I do? Yeah. So I felt like the Lord said, just ask them what happened. Like, when did it start? And so I asked them. So I asked like my boy cousin first, and then the girl cousin, and they shared kind of when it started. And it all started because one of them went to the hospital because he had a sore throat. And during that time, he was afraid it might be COVID, right? So he went, but they wouldn't allow people in. This was the time when it was so really, really, like, nobody knew about it. Nobody knew how to treat it. Yeah. They would not allow any visitors. And so it was only boy cousin. The boy cousin was there, and he was in the hospital, but they ruled everything out, and he finally was able to come home. But then when he got home, my other girl cousin was got a sore throat too, because they had somebody come in to fix their refrigerator in their house, and that guy was coughing. So after that, she started getting a sore throat, and she ended up, so when my male cousin had come back from the hospital, he was still fine. He was still eating stuff okay. Then when the female cousin went and to get herself checked, they told her it was negative. But then when she got home a couple days later on the news, they said that hospital she went to, there were all these people coming down with COVID. So then she got kind of scared, right? So then when they're describing all of this, you know, it was so funny. I thought, oh my goodness. Like, I was kind of talking to the Lord about it, and the Lord's like, it's just COVID. It's the fear of COVID. Because after that, what happened is they would go eat something and then they would feel something a little bit different, and then they would get anxious, right? Mm-hmm. So both of them started having this, and then their fear kind of built on each other. And the more one of them said, the more the other one had the similar symptoms, and it just built and built and built. Yeah. And so I, you know, it was funny. I had this realization like, oh, it's just plain old fear. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just fear. I know how to deal with fear. Yeah. I know how to tell them to, you know, renounce fear, right? Because I think I was making up in my head, like, all these spirits, like, over this family, and I don't know how we're going to deal with it, whatever.
Yeah.
And I forgot how big our God is, right? Uh-huh. And how fear is fear, whether you're in Taiwan or if you're in America. Yeah. And I know a lot of people struggled with fear during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, I felt like, oh, okay, Lord. Okay, so you want them to deal with the fear, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is I was able to bring them into a room, into their room, one of the rooms, and I asked them, do you want to pray with me? And they said, yeah. And I asked them, do you want to get rid of this fear that you've had? I explained to them that sometimes, you know, the spiritual actually affects the physical.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And so the fear is what's been keeping them from being able to do things or eat things and, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I led them to try to pray. And this was interesting because it was the first time I did it two people together, because they're kind of like inseparable almost. And so I had them kind of repeat the same things, and I asked them to give the fear to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And they prayed with me to give their fear to the Lord. But then I asked them, okay, what the Lord wants to give you something to replace the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So once they had surrendered the fear, I asked them to ask God if there was something that he wanted to give them.
Yeah.
And both of them could not think of anything. Like, okay, nothing came to mind, and they were just sitting there. And so I'm asking the Lord, like, okay, what should I do now, Lord, right? So then the Lord brought to mind for me actually a memory of when they were here in America visiting.
Oh, okay.
And they were at SeaWorld, but I remember, I thought this was a funny memory, because in the memory, I was annoyed at them because they wouldn't get on any of the rides.
Okay.
And they were just complaining, like, I don't even know what they were complaining about, but I just got that picture of when they were there, right?
Yeah.
And so I said to my cousins, okay, so the Lord's bringing this to mind. I don't know why, but do you remember that time when you guys came to visit America and you were at, you know, this amusement park with me and you didn't want to get on any of the rides? And, you know, I'm describing this to them.
Yeah.
And they start, like, laughing out loud. Like, my female cousin starts, like, laughing out loud. And I'm like, what is so funny? And then she looks at at her brother. And then she goes to him, oh, you remember that guy? Remember that weird guy? And they start talking to each other. And they're laughing and laughing and laughing. And that's the first time, like, I saw them, like, smile or laugh or anything, like, the whole time that, like, I had been there. Because they were so somber, like, like almost like death. It was just kind of scary. So they started laughing. And then I said, oh, what's so funny? And they're like, oh, we saw this guy. We thought he was weird. And we just thought it was hilarious how he was acting. And so they were laughing. And something happened.
Something like shifted in that moment.
Totally something shifted. Was released. Totally shifted. And then I also got a picture of my girl cousin a couple years back when I had visited her. And I remember we were just talking girl things. And I remember how happy she was. And I remember there was a dress I was wearing that she really liked. And because she really liked it, I said, okay, why don't you take it, you know? And I gave it to her. And so I was reminding her of that.
Yeah.
And she like lit up, like her face lit up, right? Wow. And then, like, as this is happening, the boy cousin, he says, you know what? God really has been good to us.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I thought, whoa, where is this coming from, right? And he said, you know, he's taken care of us even though our dad hasn't. Like, he's been there. Like, mom is okay. Like, there's nothing, you know, she's been able to make it through and we're okay. And he just starts kind of like going through how the Lord has provided. Yeah. And I was just shocked.
Wow.
Because he was doing that. And then, you know, my girl cousin, she was like radiant now at this time. So there's this sudden, like, it's almost like a switch from dark to light.
And
then
to see their countenance.
Yes. Their countenance was changed. Yeah. And it was almost like this is how I remember them, from when they were younger and we all used to, like, you know, talk together and whatever, have fun together. And I thought, wow, this is so different. And then I said, I felt like I was supposed to tell them, the Lord is giving you joy in place of the fear.
Yes.
Right. And I said, so whenever you feel like it's going to come again or you're afraid, then just remember what the Lord has done for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And when you remember what the Lord has done for you, then it'll lift you out of whatever it is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And and so that's kind of what happened. And it wasn't any crazy like prayer, you know, like that I had to do. It was just really kind of sitting there and asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I say? Yeah, like, you know, what next?
Yeah.
And just hanging on to what the Lord wanted me to do, right?
Yeah.
So that was just amazing. And I almost, like, I was thinking in my head now, I don't know if this is fleshly, but I was thinking, Lord, it would be so good if they went to the wedding, right? Because they haven't been out anywhere. It would be so nice. But I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's possible. But anyway, I encouraged them. Yeah, I said, you know, if that's you good. Could just go to the wedding. Of course, they didn't. But still, I think it was just this breakthrough for them to have the moment of joy and reconnecting with the Lord and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. And now, did you ever find out if after that point, if the food allergies went away?
The food allergies are not completely away, but they are able to eat a lot more than they were before. And I think it's going to be a process, right?
Yeah.
But it certainly is different than it was.
Wow, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so incredible to replace God replaced the fear with the joy and with the guy cousin Thanksgiving, you know, of just how good, the realization of how good God is. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You went through so many battles, Agnes, just to make this trip. You know, God opened up the doors with the COVID restrictions and the battles with the Taiwanese consulate and all the lies the enemy tried to throw your way. Looking back in hindsight, do you feel like those struggles in any way helped prepare you for what was going to happen in Taiwan with you and your family as you reflect back?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think that because I was able to experience kind of his miracle, right, even before going, there were two things. One, I think it increased my faith, right? Increased my faith, and then my kind of expectancy of like what could happen, right? Because I think if that had not happened, I probably would not have had kind of the expectations of God going to do something, like God's going to do something, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Something amazing. So that was one, is really just increasing my faith. And then the second thing was just being more open to, like, just not relying on myself, but relying on his, like, every, like, what he's telling me to do in each situation. Like, you know, with my mom, what am I supposed to do? Wow, I'm actually supposed to apologize, right? With my dad, oh, I'm supposed to speak words to him, right? With my grandma, oh, I'm just going to speak blessing over her, right? And then with these cousins, like, it's just reminding them of his goodness, right?
Yes.
And all those things are not hard, but I think without that faith and that miracle happening to prepare me for the trip, I think I wouldn't have expected like that, or have been so aware and intentional. I think that's another thing, is to go with an intention that God's going to do something.
Wow, that's so awesome. Oh, very inspirational. So Agnes, as we wrap up our time together, I just first of all want to thank you again for coming back on Catalyst Stories and sharing your heartwarming testimonies of what God did in and through you in your family in Taiwan. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and I'd like to end our time by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for these incredible testimonies and for our listeners as well. So yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being with, strengthening and protecting Agnes in Taiwan as she went there, just to be a light and a vessel of love to her family. Thank you for all the wonderful memories that Agnes was able to spend with her grandmother and her aunties and uncles and her cousins. Lord, make us a vessel and an offering of love and encouragement to our families, that they may see and know you by how we live our lives, Lord. And give us the courage and determination to step out in faith like Agnes did, and leaving the results in your hands, Lord. Thank you for showing us through Agnes that time and time again that we are blessed when we bless others. And thank you for revealing to Agnes some things about herself, Lord, that caused her to see a need to change some things in her approach and the way that she lives her own life. And Lord, thank you for the fruit that has come from this revelation, Lord. And thank you, God, that the way that you speak to us is never condemning or condescending, Lord, but always out of love and your mercy. Help us to be open to the things that you're wanting us to change in our lives, that we might be more like you, Jesus. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Agnes's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Agnes. So that's it for today. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.